I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, and a very warm welcome to all of you who have traveled and who have come back, and those who have come to join us here in Australia. A very, very warm welcome to you. Now, as I always like to remind you, time passes very, very quickly. We have already come to the end of July. If you are not conscious of it, please remember, we have already come to the end of July, and very soon winter will be over and spring will be here. You see how time flies, and every day we must search ourselves and ask ourselves, what have we done for the Lord? Now I remind you on Sunday, maybe you remember only on Sunday after I have reminded you, but what about tomorrow morning when you wake up? I trust that we will all remember that our life is indeed very, very short. It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Yesterday, Deacon Anthony and myself were at a meeting and we met up with old friends whom we have not seen for several years. And we look at them and say, oh, how come they look so old? And we forgot that when they look at us, they might have the same feeling. How come you look so old? Yes, indeed, we age. And we are subject to time, and we age, and very soon we will be going out of this world, going out from the capsule of time, going into eternity. And remember this, we have only one life, and only what's done for Christ will last. And when we come face to face with the Lord someday, what are we going to say to Him when He asks us this question? What did you do for me when you were on planet Earth? What did you do for me? Let us all be prepared to give a good account of our service unto Him. Now, the subject this morning is God's Word to you? Is His Word, His Word, is His Word, God's Word to you? And I speak from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the verse which we read earlier on. I'd like us to look at that verse again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. I read for you, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. In other words, the folks in the city of Thessalonica receive God's word as God's word, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God worked powerfully in them that believe. Now Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the gospel to the city of Thessalonica. You remember that was the second European city that they evangelized in Paul's second missionary journey. The first city was Philippi, and there they were persecuted, and then they moved on to the city of Thessalonica. Now they were not long in the city of Thessalonica because there they also faced severe persecution. They were perhaps there for only a few weeks, and then Paul, Silas, and Timothy had to very hurriedly leave the city of Thessalonica to go on to the next city, which was the city of Berea. Now, in the city of Berea, they were also persecuted. Yes, and then Paul was then conducted by the brethren in the city of Berea down to the city of Athens, but he left behind in the city of Berea Timothy and Silas. Now Paul spent some time in Athens, and then Timothy joined up with him in the city of Athens. Now Paul felt very, very uncomfortable about the spiritual situation in the city of Thessalonica because he and his missionary partners were only there for a short time. And therefore he said something had to be done to make sure that the people there were indeed growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he sent Timothy back to minister to the folks in the city of Thessalonica. Then subsequently Paul left for the city of Corinth. And then after a short while, Timothy met up with Paul in the city of Corinth. And he brought good news to the Apostle Paul. The church in the city of Thessalonica was doing well. The people had become very evangelistic. They had become exemplary believers, and they were showing forth works of faith. In other words, works of repentance, works of righteousness, and they were showing a labor of love, and they were showing also patience of hope. In other words, they were persecuted, but they showed patience because they had hope in the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul, of course, was very gladdened by the news, and then he wrote this letter, 1 Thessalonians, to the folks in the city of Thessalonica, with the purpose of encouraging them, and also to clear up some misunderstanding that they had concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote this letter to them, and here we read that the Thessalonian Christians received the word of God not as the word of man, but as the word of God. Can you imagine that? They received the word of God as the word of God. When Paul preached to them, when Silas, Timothy preached to them, they received their word as the word of God. Now, how could it be? How could it be possible? Don't forget, Paul spent only a short period of time with them. How could they then turn from their idolatry to serve the one true living God? They were idolaters. Now, today, you in Australia, if you have grown up here in Australia, you might not understand fully what it means to worship idols. But if you came from a country like Singapore or Malaysia, I think you will appreciate it better in regards to what is meant by to worship idols. In Singapore, there is a district known as Geylang. If you come from Singapore, you know Geylang. Now, Geylang is an area that has got lots of short streets, narrow short streets, and they all run parallel. There are something like 25 or 30 streets or so. It's Lorong 1, Lorong 2, and so forth. And in practically every of the streets, there is a Chinese temple. Practically every one of them. And there are lots and lots of gods that these idolaters would worship. Now you have to ask yourself, when you look at those Chinese temples, how come the business of the temples could be surviving? How come they could be thriving? Now the reason is this. Of course, the business of the temples is well supported by idolaters. People who were steeped in idolatry. People who were gripped by idols. Now, how could these people be converted? Surely it requires a great miracle for these people to be converted. Now the folks in the city of Thessalonica were possibly living in such an environment. Idolatry everywhere. They were idol worshippers. Now then came this trio, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, strangers to them. One day they appeared out of the blue and they preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They preached that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose up on the third day, according to the scriptures of the Jews. And that if people heard the message, and if they were willing to repent from their sins and turn to the one true living God, they would be saved. They would have everlasting life. Now the Thessalonians, of course, could easily have dismissed this three preachers as nothing but fly-by-night itinerant preachers who were only interested to get money out of them. And they could easily have dismissed their message as nothing but fairy tales or simply rubbish. But no, they received the word preached by them as the word of God. How could that happen? How could they be receiving the word of God as the word of God? The answer actually is given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Alright, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. You see, how could they be receiving the word of God as the word of God? Remember, they were idolaters, okay, steeped in idolatry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, when he wrote this letter to them, For our gospel came not unto you in word only. In other words, we didn't just speak to you, but the gospel came also in power and in what? In the Holy Ghost, in other words, the Word of God came to you with the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, with conviction, with confidence, with absolute certainty, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So, why were they able to receive God's Word as God's Word? The reason is this. The Holy Spirit enabled the folks in the city of Thessalonica to receive God's Word as God's Word. He worked in their hearts and caused them to receive God's Word as God's Word. And that's right, my dear friends. He enables us to receive God's Word as God's Word. You and me who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the folks in the city of Thessalonica and then caused them to receive God's Word as God's Word. And that was exactly how people in those days in the city of Jerusalem received God's Word on the day of Pentecost. Yes, it was the Holy Spirit working in the hearts that caused them to receive God's Word on the day of Pentecost. Now, on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, Peter and his fellow apostles preached the Word of God. They preached the fulfillment of prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached that he was crucified and he was buried and that he rose up from the dead. And then Peter and his fellow apostles made it very, very clear to their hearers. Remember, they were all Jews in the city of Jerusalem celebrating or commemorating the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter and his fellow apostles said this very, very clearly to them. You, by your wicked hands, have taken him, and you, by your wicked hands, have killed him. You have crucified him. And then what happened? What happened next was the hearers were pricked in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts, and then they said something else, and then they said something. But the question is, how could they be pricked in their hearts? How could this happen? How could they be pricked in their hearts? Now the answer is given to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. If you turn to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 4, you get the answer there. All right? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All right, I read for you the verse. And they, referring to the apostles, and they, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The apostles spoke as they were moved by God's Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. Yes, they were given the gift of languages by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and they spoke in the dialects of the hearers. All the hearers were Jews, but then over time they were scattered in the region surrounding the Palestine, and they had over time forgotten their native tongue, Hebrew, and they were speaking dialects. And Peter and his fellow apostles preached to them, and then they heard the messages in their own dialects. Friends, if it was the word of man, they could have ignored. But the apostles were moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God, so that the people, upon hearing the word, could not ignore the word, because it was the word of God. Yes, and the word of God pricked their hearts, and so they cried out. You see, the apostles preached in the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. The people were pricked in their hearts, and then they cried out. Verse 37 and verse 38. Now when they heard this, the people, the hearers, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, who pricked the hearts of the people to cause them to receive the word spoken by Peter and his apostles? Who caused them to recognize that what was spoken was the truth? As we said already, it was none other than God's mighty Holy Spirit. He pricked their hearts. Yes, with God's word. He pricked their hearts with God's word, because Peter and apostles and fellow apostles preached God's word, and they were pricked in their hearts by God's word. It was the mighty Holy Spirit who made use of His word to cause them to be pricked in the hearts. Now understand this truth. God's Holy Spirit gives us understanding so that we may be able to recognize God's word as God's word. You see, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Now, if the Holy Spirit does not give us understanding, we will never ever understand God's word. His Holy Spirit has to give us spiritual understanding. Now, if the Holy Spirit does not give us spiritual understanding, we will not appreciate His word. Now and then, we hear instances of paintings stored in some attic, and then they are stored as junk, fit only to be thrown away. Then one day, one particular painting was identified by an art specialist to be a painting done by his famous historical artist like Leonardo da Vinci. Then did the owner realize that the painting that he possessed was a very, very special painting done by a great artist. Now, who was it that gave him the understanding? It was the art expert. The art expert enabled him to appreciate the value of his painting. Likewise, my dear friends, we do not recognize God's word as being God's word. We do not value it as such until the day God's mighty Holy Spirit works in our heart and gives us the understanding that God's word is indeed God's word. He's the one who gives us the spiritual discernment to understand that what we have is indeed God's word. And He did just that in the hearts of the folks in the city of Thessalonica and caused them to realize that the word preached by Paul, Silas and Timothy was indeed no ordinary word, but it was indeed the word of God. Now the question is, do we appreciate that God's word is God's word? And do we receive it as such? Do we, my dear friends, do we appreciate God's word as God's word, and then we receive it as such? Now, if we are born again, if the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us, He will surely give us this discernment. He will surely enable us to recognize that God's word is God's word. Now, if we do not recognize God's word as God's word, something is seriously wrong with us. All right? We read God's word and we don't realize that it's God's word, or we don't recognize that it is God's word. Something is seriously wrong with us. Yes, the Holy Spirit might not be in us. Maybe we are not born again. That's why we do not recognize God's word as God's word. And chances are we are not born again. That's why we don't recognize God's word as God's word. There was this man some years ago who professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, he was baptized. Then after he was baptized, he behaved in a very strange manner. Very often he would go into the internet and he would search for articles that would contradict Holy Scriptures. And then he will bring that article and to show to people, and or he will email that article to some people, and then you see, and he will say, there you are, you see this man with long letters behind him. He's an authority. He has disproved the Bible. He has disproved this account. He has disproved that account. In other words, he was saying that God's word is not God's word. That's what he was saying. Now, could that man be born again? I doubt it, my dear friends. If a person is born again, he will surely recognize God's word as God's word, but not this man. Now, let's say we recognize that God's word is indeed God's word, and that we are really born again. Now, the question that we next need to ask is, how well do we appreciate it? How well do we receive God's word as God's word? Yes, how well do we esteem it compared, let's say, to the way we esteem food? Do we value it more than we value physical food? Now, this was what Job, that great saint in the Old Testament, said concerning his desire for physical food compared to his desire for God's word. He says this in Job 23, verse 12. I think it's good for us to look at that verse. Job 23, verse 12. Job 23 and verse 12. Job 23, verse 12. All right, let's read that verse together. Job 23 and verse 12. All right, very quickly. Job 23 and verse 12. Ready? Let's read it. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says this, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It was not unnecessary food, necessary food, food that he needed to eat. But Job said, I esteem God's word more than I esteem the word that the food that I'm in need of. That was how he looked at God's word. Now, I'm sure we have come across people who are very, very consumed by their games, computer games. They play the computer games to the extent that they say, I can forget about my food. Yes, they are prepared to forego their food because they are so consumed by the computer games. Then I'm sure we must have met people who are consumed by their sports, by their hobbies, to the extent that food is not important to them. And then there are people who play mahjong, you know, they play so much that they don't even care to eat. They're so consumed by it. And then there are people who are consumed by their work to the extent that they don't care to eat. Actually, I've met with such people. I meet them and it was lunchtime for them. I say, hey, how come you are not eating your lunch? He said, oh, lunch is not important. We must finish this work first. We always have very, very late lunches and sometimes we don't even eat. You see, they are consumed by their work. Their work, their hobbies, their games are more important than their food. My dear friends, how do we regard God's word? Do we regard God's word as being more important than physical food? I dare say that if we regard God's word as being more important than physical food, surely this church is going to be a very, very vibrant New Testament church. Yes, it will be. My dear friends, if we regard God's word as even more important than physical food. Now, it is the Holy Spirit who creates this hunger for this spiritual food in us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. In other words, desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us this new birth. And it is the Holy Spirit, of course, who gives us this desire to desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God, the pure Word of God. Yes? Now, as the one who gives us the new birth, as we said, he also gives us this desire for this sincere milk of the Word of God. But friends, therefore, let us pray by the grace of God that the Holy Spirit who creates in us this desire for his sincere milk will cause our hunger for this word of God to grow and to grow to the extent, my dear friends, that it becomes more important to us than anything else. Yes. And what a great spiritual revival we would have, my dear friends, if the Holy Spirit were to create this great hunger in us for his word, even the word of God. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ clearly teaches us that God's word is definitely more important than physical food. It is to be desired more than physical food. You remember there was the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was led by his mighty Holy Spirit, or the mighty Holy Spirit, into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then during that time, he was tempted by Satan. And one of the temptations that was presented to the Lord Jesus Christ during the time when he was very, very hungry was the conversion of stones into bread. And so, Satan made this presentation to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I read for you. And when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was quoting the Old Testament. He was in fact quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, these were actually the words spoken by Moses to the children of Israel. You see, the children of Israel had come to the border of the promised land. They were now in the land of Moab. And Moses was reviewing with them God's dealings with them over their 40 years wilderness wandering. And I read for you that passage that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to verses 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember Moses was talking to the children of Israel. They were in the land of Moab, about to go into the promised land. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know what man, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Moses, in that instance, as we said, was reminding the children of Israel the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God during their 40-year wilderness wandering. Now, the children of Israel, of course, like all human beings, at the start of their journey from Egypt into the land of promise, were very, very concerned about their physical well-being. They were very, very concerned that they might die of hunger. They thought that their survival was completely dependent on bread alone. Without bread, they would die. But the truth was, God was able to provide for them, even though they did not have bread to eat. How? How did God provide for the children of Israel? Simply by His word. He commanded manna to fall down from heaven to feed the children of Israel over the 40-year wilderness wandering. So, what should have been more important to the children of Israel? The word of God or physical bread? Of course, it must be the word of God, because by the word of God, God could do anything to provide for the children of Israel. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling Satan, "Tempter, you are wrong in saying that man must necessarily live by bread alone, and that without bread he will die. No, he can live without bread. He lives by depending entirely on God's word, which is all-powerful, which is able to produce anything that man is in need of." So what is more important, the word of God or physical bread? Of course, my dear friends, the word of God. The word of God is far, far, far more valuable than any physical food. Now, if we are receiving God's word as God's word, are we receiving it so well that we are taking heed to it, paying attention to it, and obeying it? Are we hearing it? Yes, Mark 4:24, the Lord says, "Take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." Now, right now at the worship service, let me ask you now, I'm speaking to you now, my dear friends, what voices are you hearing right now as I speak to you? Are you hearing the voices of some shows that you saw in the course of the week, and then these voices are speaking to you right now? Or are you paying attention or remembering the voices of some shows that you saw last night, and these voices are speaking to you right now? So instead of hearing the voice of the preacher preaching to you, you are paying attention to these voices. So much so that the voice of the preacher is completely drowned out by what you heard in the course of the week or even last night. So you say to yourself, "This man up there seems to be babbling. When is he going to stop babbling?" Or right now, maybe you're listening to what I'm saying. All right, you are listening. But friends, you might not regard me as, I might not regard the preacher as a mouthpiece for the one true living God, bringing God's word to you. You do not care to take heed to God's word, the word that is spoken out of the truth of God's word. Yes, and you do not care to obey the word spoken by the preacher. You do not care to apply it to your life. So what happens? No sooner had the message been completed than you would have forgotten what was spoken from this pulpit. Yes? Do you believe that after the worship service, as soon as you walk through that door there, you're going to forget all that you have heard this morning? Do you believe that? You say, no, I don't think I'll forget. Maybe, all right, hopefully you don't forget. But friends, I dare say that many people will have forgotten what they heard during the worship service. Now let me ask you, all right, do you remember what was preached from this pulpit last week? Good test, right? Do you remember? You see, you forget, you see. The message I preached to you last week was fatherly and motherly care for spiritual children. And I spoke 3 points, just 3 points. Point number one, Paul's service was very, very sacrificial. He was very, very caring for the church in the city of Thessalonica. His service was very sacrificial. And he, his tenderness towards the children of to the folks in the city of Thessalonica was like the tenderness of a mother. And he cared for the folks in the city of Thessalonica like a father would care for his children. Remember the 3 points that I talked about. Then I challenge you to, as leaders, those who are leading in the church, playing leadership roles in the church, to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. And also challenge all of us here to follow the example of the Apostle Paul to care for one another. Now, did you remember that message, my dear friends? I say if you had taken heed to what was spoken from the pulpit last week, you would remember. You would. Because if you had taken heed to God's word, surely there would be certain portions of God's word that you feel applicable to you. And if you apply those portions to your life, Would you forget what you have taken heed at the worship service last week? You would not, because you had applied those portions to your life and you said, yes, I remember this. Thank God for this word that was spoken last week from out of God's word. Now, so, my dear friends, it is needful that we take heed to his word. But how may we take heed to the word of God that is preached from the pulpit? We know that it is needful that we take heed, but how do we take heed to God's word that is preached from the pulpit? Now first, we must make preparation for the Lord's Day. I've said it many, many times from this pulpit, but you've forgotten, right? Friends, we must make the necessary preparation for the Lord's Day. When do we start preparing? We start preparing on Saturday night. Now if on Saturday night we stay up late to watch a late night movie, surely our hearts are not prepared for the worship service on Sunday. Yes, we will not be in the right frame of mind when we come into the house of the Lord to worship Him. Chances are, my dear friends, we would also not be punctual in the house of the Lord. Isn't that very true? My dear friends, you stay up late to watch a late night movie. How could you be punctual at the worship service? No, you will not be punctual. And then when we are here, physically, our mind could be absent because we are still thinking of the movie that we watched last night, or we slept so late, we feel so sleepy, we cannot concentrate, and therefore we don't pay heed, any kind of heed to God's word. Let our preparation be right, my dear friends. Those who are heads of home, set the spiritual tone for your children to follow. We must teach the children in our home to be expectant of the blessings that God is going to shower upon us at the worship service. And we must teach them to take heed of God's word, take heed to God's word when we come into the house of the Lord. And friends, let us come to the house of the Lord early. And when we are here early, spend some time meditating as we prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Yes, and then as we meditate and prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, surely, my dear friends, we will be in a better position to receive God's word and receive it as really his word. And then when the worship service leader proclaims, "The Lord is in his holy temple, let the whole earth keep silence before him," then we'll be more prepared to say, "Yes, Lord, I am very, very prepared to hear what you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." If we pray this prayer very, very sincerely and we are very, very prepared to receive God's word, will not God bless us with good reception of his word? Yes, he will. Surely he will, if our hearts are very well prepared. Now, years ago, in Pandan, Calvary Pandan, there was this American family, a young family. Yes, a couple with three boys. And they were very, very exemplary in their conduct at the worship service. Yes, they all paid attention. The parents made sure that the children pay attention. Yes, and they didn't even allow the younger son to stand on the pew when the congregation stood up to sing. They make sure that the children stand on the floor to sing. They didn't even allow the children to stand on the pew. That was how strict they were with the children. Then after the worship service, when they got home, the parents would quiz their children. Yes, to make sure that they were listening to the Word of God. Yes, I think it's a very, very good idea, my dear friends, if you were to encourage your children to take down notes as the preacher preaches. And then when you go home, quiz your children what they have heard. And of course, if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to be a good quiz master, you yourself must also be taking notes. Yes, but I suppose some of the children here are already quite grown up. They are in their teens or out of their teens. Maybe a quiz may not be in order. Maybe the right thing for you is to have a discussion of the message that was spoken at the pulpit, from the pulpit. Maybe over a meal, at lunchtime or at dinner time, could you not just spend maybe 5-10 minutes to review what was preached from the pulpit? That it would be good revision for you. Yes, good revision for not only for your children, but also for yourself. Then, at the end of the worship service, it will be to our great blessing if we were to spend some time meditating on God's word. Think through what was spoken from the pulpit. Yes, for that 45 minutes or so when you spend listening to God's word, what did I hear or what did I learn from God's word? Maybe it is something that is very, I think it's something that is very, very good that you should be doing. And then as you review what was spoken, yes, it will be good that we thank the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your word. I've heard it, and Lord, I will take heed of it. Yes. Maybe that is what we should be doing, and I encourage you to do that. Yes, we must take heed to his word and do so diligently, not just superficially, but take heed to his word diligently. So Luke chapter 8 verse 18 says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. In the Word of God, we have these two sisters, Mary and Martha of Bethany. There was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ visited with these two sisters and their brother Lazarus. And I read for you that passage taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, the very familiar passage of Jesus' visit to the village of Bethany. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was taking heed to God's word, to the word of the Lord. And how was she doing it? My dear friends, she was doing it wholeheartedly, diligently, listening to God's word, the word of the Lord. That activity, my dear friends, is most needful. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Mary had chosen that good part, and that good part would not be taken away from her. How blessed Mary must have been. Martha, on the other hand, missed that very, very needful part. By not taking heed to God's word, she was encumbered with a lot of physical care. Now, my dear friends, our taking heed to God's word must be diligent. it must not be superficial. The Lord says it very clearly. Take heed, therefore, how we hear. We must hear diligently. If it is superficial, if our taking heed is very, very superficial, it's not going to benefit us. It's like our learning piano. We learn a few phrases here and a few phrases there, and then we play those phrases on the piano. But we don't care to practice. We don't care to learn diligently. In time, what happens, my dear friends? In time, because of lack of practice, we are not diligent in learning. Yes, we learn practically nothing. And then all that we have learned, my dear friends, would surely be forgotten also. So let's not be superficial in heeding God's word. Let's heed it. Heed it diligently at the worship service. Let us heed it diligently when we do our quiet time. And let us not just heed it superficially, as we said, but heed it diligently. And then when we hear God's truth read, or when we hear God's word spoken, when we read it during our quiet time, let us, by the grace of God, say, Amen, Amen. Yes, Lord, your word is true. Speak, Lord, for your servant hear us. My dear friends, if we continue to do that, surely, my dear friends, God's word is going to do a great work in our lives. Next, let us see that the Holy Spirit enables us to apply God's word to our lives. Yes, He enables us to treat God's word as God's word, and then He also enables us to apply God's word to our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the verse that we read earlier on, which we are considering this morning. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually means powerfully, which works powerfully in you. See what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit made use of His word. Yes, He made use of His word to work powerfully in the hearts of the folks in the city of Thessalonica. So what's the result? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the verse that we covered a few messages ago. Okay, chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Wherever Paul went, yes, in that region, these people told Paul about what they heard about the folks in the city of Thessalonica. They told Paul about the testimony of the folks in the city of Thessalonica, which told them about their behavior, their conduct, their transformed behavior and conduct, which came as a result of their hearing and receiving God's word. Now, if we profess that we are believers, and we say that God's word is indeed God's word, then something must necessarily happen in our lives. We must necessarily give up our idols to serve the one true living God, which was what the folks in the city of Thessalonica did. They received God's word, the result of which was they gave up their idols. God's word tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. Now, my dear friends, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, He will work in us effectually, powerfully. And when He does that, we'll respond to His word. Yes, His commandments. And then what would we do, my dear friends? We'll give up our idols, just as the folks in the city of Thessalonica did. And then we'll tell the Lord, Lord, I will give up my idols. I will not allow the love of my sports. I will not allow the love of my hobbies. I will not allow the love even for my children. I will not allow my job. I will not allow the love of my car, the love of my ambition, the love of my career to consume me. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to put you first in my life. My dear friends, if God's Holy Spirit is working in us and causing His word to work in us, that's going to happen. My dear friends, we will definitely give up our idols. Yes. Now, but if we have heard God's word and then we have not turned from idols to serve the living God. Now, what does it mean? What it means is God's word has not worked in our lives. That's what it means. That's why we have not turned from idols to serve the one true living God. Why is that so? Now, that is so because maybe we are not born again. God's Holy Spirit is not in us. If God's Holy Spirit is not in us, surely then he will not be making use of his word to work powerfully in our hearts, because he's absent from our body. He's not in us. Now, if his word works in us, we will definitely identify idols in our lives as idols. Definitely, we'll see them as idols, and we'll give them up and worship the one true living God. A woman, a professed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, idolized her daughter. She doted on her daughter, gave in to her daughter, gave in to all her tantrums, and she said, no, I must not frustrate her. I must not traumatize her, because psychologically she is quite weak. If I were to traumatize her, I'm going to damage her, because mentally she is so very fragile. And it's true, this daughter of hers was mentally quite fragile, emotionally quite weak, but the truth was also that she was actually idolizing her daughter. So what happened? Yes, she kept giving in to her tantrums. Over the years, she became a spoiled brat. Yes, literally a spoiled brat. She became wayward, and then she also, because of her waywardness, was breaking her mother's heart. Friends, but if this lady who professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, and who had the Holy Spirit in her, and who was taking heed to God's word would surely have worked in her life. She would have surely paid attention to the teaching of God's word, even from the book of Proverbs, which would have taught her this truth. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. She would have taken heed to this teaching, train up a child in the way that he should go, which means that she ought to have disciplined her child, yes, so that she will be walking the right way and not grow into a spoiled brat. Now, in the case of the folks in the city of Thessalonica, the Holy Spirit caused the word of God to work, yes, mightily in the hearts of the folks in the city of Thessalonica, to the extent that they became exemplary believers. They became joyful Christians in spite of the sufferings that they were experiencing. And then they were waiting hopefully and patiently for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. I read for you the kind of behavior that they exhibited when God's mighty Holy Spirit made use of his word to work in their hearts. Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, they became exemplary believers. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad. So they became very evangelistic, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul said, I don't have to boast about you. I don't have to talk about your testimony. They in fact told me about your testimony. That was how much the word of God had worked in their hearts through God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, if we are truly born again, if we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and have truly repented from our sins, the Holy Spirit must surely come and dwell in us. And if he has come and dwell in us, we will surely treat God's word as God's word. Yes, we'll value it, and we'll treat it as God's word, and we'll receive it as God's word. Now, the question is, how well do we appreciate it as God's word? How well do we receive it as God's word? Do we value it more than we value, say, physical food? Do we value it enough to make every effort to take heed to God's word? Do we obey it? And if we truly obey it and heed it diligently, my dear friends, you know what kind of church this church would be. If all of us really value God's word as God's word, really take heed to it in a very, very diligent manner, this church will surely become a very, very vibrant New Testament church. Yes, it will be. Because God's mighty Holy Spirit is going to make use of His word to work powerfully, effectually in us. And if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, truly surrendered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, as we said, would surely work powerfully in our lives. His word will cause us to give up our idols to serve Him. His word will cause us to become exemplary believers. His word will cause us to be joyful and hopeful believers as we wait for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, do we treat God's word as God's word? Now, if we really treat God's word as God's word, then we must be taking heed to God's word. And if God's word is really working in our lives, this church will surely be the vibrant New Testament church that the Lord wants this church to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in us. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, work in us, and may He cause the word that we have learned and the word that we have taken heed to work mightily in us. So that, Lord, we may be the exemplary believers that you want us to be. So that we may be evangelistic. So that, like the folks in the city of Thessalonica, we might be showing works of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. And Lord, we pray that you will, by your working of the Holy Spirit through your word, cause us, O Lord God, to be the believers that you want us to be. Cause this church, O Lord God, to be the vibrant New Testament church that you want it to be. And we know that it can only happen if we allow the word of God to work mightily in us through the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Thank God for the word. In closing, let us all rise to sing hymn 255. 255, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word is the lamp.